happened where somehow I got labeled as the person that doesn't wake up. But Scott, Chris, they all are like, oh, remember, Philip, it's 6:30 in the morning. You better be up. You better be ready. I'm going to be sleeping in the car. Jimmy can drive first, then I'll get to drive through the rain second. I'll be okay with that at 6:30 in the morning. So, again, just pray for us. We're going down just to be safe, especially those that I think maybe Chris will drive the box truck back through the mountains. You always want to pray for safety for all those things. But I love the last song we sang, just holy, holy, holy is the Lord. There's no one like Him. I pray that you remember that all the days of your life, that there's no one who is like God of heaven. There's no one like Jesus Christ in your life. And I love that there's so many things going on that can be busy, it can be challenging, it can be hard at times, but it's still amazing to see that the Lord is moving. We have a baptism on Sunday. That's going to be 20. The Lord comes through every time, church. Every time the Lord comes through. And it's such an uplifting and such an encouraging thing for me to get to witness the Lord doing mighty things. In Psalms 37, 23 and 24, listen to it closely. It says, The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in Him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall. For the Lord upholds him with His hand. The Lord makes a way every time. Amen, church? The Lord continues to make a way. And we all have challenges in our life. We all go through struggles and pains and sufferings and obstacles and hurdles in our life. Many things, financial troubles and marriage troubles and just all these types of things. Sometimes we get depressed and sometimes we have all this anxiety. Sometimes we have all this fear. So many challenges. Sometimes we feel like we don't have enough to do anything. Sometimes we feel like we don't have enough finances to do anything. Sometimes maybe you feel like I don't have enough friends. I don't have enough people around me in my life. There's many challenges in this life, and it seems like every time I turn a corner, somebody's going through something. Somebody's got something going on in their life. Somebody has found out that they have cancer. Somebody's found out that there's brokenness. Somebody's going through grief and suffering and pain. It's around every corner, church. But listen to me very closely. We serve a God that cares for His people. We serve a God who cares for you and I, that loves us dearly, that we can cast all our anxieties on Him because He cares for us. Amen, church. But not only that there is no challenge, no obstacle, no hurdle that is too big for God not to overcome. Amen. Church, there's nothing too big for God not to overcome. So let me ask you tonight, are there challenges in your life? Is there obstacles in your life? Are there hurdles in your life? Sufferings and pains and griefs and all those things, are they in your life? And let me ask you, are you trusting Christ with them? Because you won't get over them without Him. You won't get over them without Him. Matthew chapter 14 is where we're going to be. I want to share with you three amazing stories. Matthew chapter 14. Three amazing, mighty stories, powerful stories that show the power of our Savior, Jesus Christ. But just for us to understand this, just a little bit of context. At the beginning of chapter 14, you see John the Baptist, and it's a pretty tragic event that happens, is John the Baptist gets beheaded. He gets killed by the king, King Herod. And there's obviously some deception that happens with the daughter and the mom and all that stuff. And I want John the Baptist's head on a platter. All those things happen, and that's what happens. But then what happens is John's disciples come, they take John's body and they bury him. But then they tell Jesus about this. And see, not only was John the Baptist supposed to be the forerunner for the Messiah, for Jesus Christ, and he did that thing. He did what he was supposed to, what God called him to do, what his purpose was. But not only that, is Jesus and John were related. Not only does that happen, but you, now you lost a relative. You lost someone that was close to him. So now we'll pick it up in verse 13. It says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. See, what do we see from just these couple of verses is that Jesus, he was looking for a solitary place. He was looking for a place of peace. He was looking for a place where he could go and pray and all those things. But what did he find? He found a crowd of brokenness. He found a crowd of healing. He found a crowd that needed his healing. He had a crowd that needed sick. And what does it say? He says he had compassion. There's always people looking for hope. And the world needs people. The world needs people that will show compassion. Amen, church? Amen. See, it would have made sense to the world for Christ to say, I got my own stuff going on. My own stuff. I got my own grief. I got my own pain going on. I just lost a relative. John the Baptist, he just died. Just go do something else. I don't have time for you. But that's not what he did. What did he say? I had compassion on them and he healed their sick. And if you look throughout the other gospels, is why did Jesus have compassion? He says they are like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus was always seeing people in their brokenness, in their hopelessness, and he has compassion on them. And listen to me, church, that if you want to start seeing brokenness healed, if you want to start seeing hopelessness healed, if you want to start seeing the sick healed, it starts really with one thing. It starts with compassion. And I'll ask you, church, do you really have compassion? Do you really have compassion for the lost? Do you really have compassion for the sick and the brokenhearted and the lost sheep? Do you really want them to find the shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ? Because it starts with that. We have to be like Jesus, full of compassion. But see, at times I think we're not, church. There's times I think that we struggle with compassion. Why? It makes sense. It really does, church. I got my own stuff going on. I got my own problems. How am I supposed to help somebody else when I got my own stuff going on? It's tough. I'm not telling you it's not tough. But you have the power of God inside you to show the compassion that doesn't make any sense to the world. You have Jesus Christ in your life if you're a believer in Christ. You really are without excuse not to be able to show compassion to the lost. And let me tell you, church, the world needs it. The world needs compassion. Verse 15, it says, as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so we can go to the villages and buy them, and they can buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves, and he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. See, church, this is an amazing thing. It's an amazing event that just happened. I love to put myself in the disciples' shoes for just a minute. You have to imagine the disciples were getting hungry. They're getting hungry and like, Jesus, can we just wrap this up? Can we just wrap this up? Now, we've been here forever, and I'm getting hungry. These people are getting hungry. Like, we got to get some food. And then Jesus looks at them and said, let's feed them. And then all you have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. Can you imagine me and the disciples? I can imagine it. Jesus, I don't know if you know this, but 5 loaves and 2 fish don't feed 5,000 men, let alone the women and children. They ain't going to be, we're going to have a crumb. That's it. That's all you're getting is a crumb. That's not going to satisfy you. That's not going to be enough. But what happens is Jesus broke bread. He gave thanks to the Lord. And what happens is basket after basket after basket after basket. See, let me tell you, this was their first challenge, was to see all these hungry people and they didn't nearly have enough. Maybe you've been there in your life and you didn't nearly have enough, but somehow God pulled you through. God made a way. I've been there many times in my life. I shouldn't be able to pay the bills this week, but somehow I did. I shouldn't have been able to eat this week, but somehow I did. Somehow I was satisfied. Somehow I was complete. I don't know how it happened. I'm not for sure how it happened, but it happened. And there's many hungry people in this life. There's many starving people. There's many unsatisfied people. And these people in the world, they're looking for it in all the wrong places. All the wrong places. But let me tell you, let me encourage you with something, church, that Jesus is the bread of life. That is who you serve. You serve the bread of life. If you see the people that are hungry, or if you're hungry yourself, you serve the bread of life. Well, what does that mean? In John 6:35, it says, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. That's who you serve. You serve Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, who satisfies the hungry. And this is what you see throughout all this, throughout this whole feeding the 5,000. It's really down to one thing, is Jesus can provide for the people. Jesus can supply your every need. He can satisfy your every hunger. You don't have to find it in the world because it won't last. It will waste away. But you'll find it in Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the bread of life. He is the bread that lasts forever. He's the manna from heaven. That's the picture of the Messiah, was that he was going to restore the manna from heaven. And guess what? He did. Why? Because he's the bread of life. The bread that lasts forever. And what I find so amazing about this is, could Jesus really, he is all powerful and all knowing and all those different things, couldn't he have just satisfied their hunger? Did he really need the 5 loaves and 2 fish? I don't think he did. But it seemed like every time Jesus had an opportunity to do something, to teach the disciples, he did. Every time he had an opportunity to teach the disciples so that they could learn, so that they could learn how to have compassion and how to heal the sick and all those different things, he did that thing. What I find so amazing is that his disciples were the one that passed the food out. He had the disciples do it. It says here, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Can you imagine the disciples for a minute? He said, well, we only have 5 loaves and we only have 2 fish. All right, I got my first basket. I take it to this group of people. I come back. Like, I don't think there's going to be enough. And Jesus loads up your basket again. And you just keep going. This story is so amazing because it reminds me of the story of Elisha and the woman with the oil. And she just keeps coming. And she just keeps having oil that continues to overflow and continues to overflow. And this is what God often does in our life. He gives us abundance. An overflowing amount. When we trust in him, church, when we trust in him, we see God do amazing, amazing things. And you have a choice, church. You have a choice whether to shoo the people away. You do. You have a choice whether to say, get lost. Get lost. I'm hungry myself. I ain't even got enough. You have an opportunity to do that. Or you have an opportunity to have compassion. You have an opportunity to feed them. And you say, well, I don't really have any food. Again, I'll say you have the bread of life. I love the story. Like I said, well, I'm giving you lots of pictures. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, Peter and John go up to this man who's sitting and begging. And this man asks them for money. And what does Peter and John say? We don't got any, but we have something better. Church, you have something better than food, physical food. You have something better than physical food. You have everlasting food. You have the bread of life. You have Jesus Christ in your life, and there's nothing better. In verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. See, now we finally see the moment where Jesus had a moment, just a moment, to spend time with the Lord, to spend time with the Father. He had a moment. And let me tell you, that's vital in your life. Anytime you have a moment, especially going through the challenges in your life, you ought to pray. You ought to spend time with the Lord. Why is that so important, church? Why is it so important to spend time in prayer when you're going through a challenge of your life? Is number one, it keeps your focus on Jesus. It keeps your focus on God. And what we'll find out later is that is so important to your walk in Jesus Christ. It's so important to overcoming those challenges in your life. And number two, listen to it closely, it brings peace and comfort in your life. It really does. When you spend time with the Father who loves you and cares for you, who cares about every need that you have, it brings peace and comfort in your life. For the Bible says, the God of all comfort who comforts us, so that we can comfort others. Amen? This is what happens when we spend time in prayer with the Lord. And number three, it shows us and it shows God where we put our trust in. It's easy to complain. It is. It's easy to complain about the challenges in our life. It's easy to get upset. But we're called to trust in the Lord. And when we spend time in prayer, it shows us and it shows the Lord who we actually say is in control, who we actually believe can help us through the challenges in our life. In verse 24, it says, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. See, we have another challenge that the disciples are going through. We have another challenge. What happens is it says that they're buffeted by the waves. What does that mean? It means they're getting crashed and the storm is raging and they can't go anywhere. And if you look throughout the other gospels, you'll see it's kind of a funny picture if you picture it this way. But they're basically, they're just rowing in place. They're not getting anywhere. They're trying their hardest. hardest, but they're not getting anywhere. And this is exactly what we see here in this story. And it's kind of funny here too, you can kind of sympathize with them a little bit. I mean, if you see a guy walking on the water, you're going to be like, I have no idea what this is. That's a ghost, right? I don't know what that is. That's something I don't know. That's a ghost. That's exactly what they say, and they're terrified. And they're afraid. I put myself there. If I saw someone walking on the water, even today, I'm going to be terrified. I'm going to be afraid. I'm like, what is going on? And that's exactly what these disciples did. They were terrified. They were terrified. See, the boat was beating around, wave after wave. And then it says here, they were a considerable distance from land. What's that mean? They're in the middle. They're in the middle. They're stuck. You're not making it back to land. You're stuck in the waves. Again, like I said, they're rowing in place. Wind's keeping them from going anywhere. They're stuck. And let me ask you, does that not sound familiar in your life? The challenges that you face, problems, all those things, you ever felt stuck? You ever felt like you're rowing and you're not getting anywhere? And you're not getting anywhere. That sounds like some of our lives. Some of the challenges that we face, terrifying, not sure how you're going to make it through. But what does Jesus say here? He says, take courage. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. See, fear, listen to me, church, fear will sink your boat. Not only will it sink your boat, it will sink your life. You let fear consume your life. Because of whatever is in front of you, you'll watch your boat sink and you'll watch your life sink. Fear is all-consuming, and it will have a hold on you and a grip on you if you don't allow Jesus to take it from you. This is why he says to the disciples, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Why is that so important? Because in the presence of God, you don't have to be afraid. When you're close with God, you don't have to be afraid of even the things that you're going through. Maybe you're here saying tonight, man, I've been going through this storm for a long time. Maybe you've been going through it for a long time. Maybe it's been a year. Maybe it's been 5 years, 10 years, whatever that may be. And you say, man, I'm tired. I've been rowing for a long time. I have been rowing for a long time. Psalms 27:14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Sometimes we got just to wait. Wait for what? A problem just to go away? No. What does it say? Wait for the Lord. Take courage. Wait for the Lord. In verse 28, we'll see what happens. It says, Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Listen to me, church. Jesus truly is the Son of God. Amen. This is what they say. Truly, he is the Son of God. And what has just happened? Their boat, again, has been crashed and they're buffeted by the waves. They're not getting anywhere. And then they think they see a ghost and they're not for sure who it is. And then Jesus cries out and says, no, don't worry. I'm not a ghost. I'm Jesus. I'm your Lord. And then Peter says, why Peter says this? I have no idea. I really don't. I'll be honest. I have no idea why Peter would make this bold statement of faith. Jesus, if you command me to walk on water, then I can come. Then I can walk on water. And then Jesus says, come. What happens is Peter steps out of the boat and he doesn't sink at first. But what happens is he begins to see the challenge. He begins to see the storm and the waves and the wind and all those things. And then he begins to sink. And then Jesus pulls him up. And then they get into the boat and the wind dies down. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing that Peter had the faith to take a step out. Peter had the faith to take a step out on the water. Why? Because Peter knew who Christ was. He knew Christ had the power to be able to command him to walk on water. And Christ has the power to do the impossible in your life. Whatever that challenge is in your life, that hurdle in your life, Jesus has the power to do the impossible. And Peter got to witness that. And I pray that you get to witness that in your life. But you'll only get to witness it if you take a step out. If you trust in Jesus Christ, you'll only be able to witness the power of God if you take a step out. See, sometimes we give Peter a hard time here. It's like we would get to ask him, Peter, why'd you lose focus? Why'd you take your eyes off of Jesus? You could have kept walking if you didn't take your eyes off of Jesus. But I wonder if Peter would ask us the same thing. Why did you take your eyes off of Jesus when that challenge was in front of you? Why did you lose faith when your finances were low? Why did you lose faith when you had problems in your marriage? Why did you lose faith in all those different challenges in your life? Because we're no different than Peter. We often lose faith. We often lose faith. And when we get out of the boat, if you get out of the boat, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Sometimes we get caught up in the challenges of our life, and we never get to see a victory. Sometimes you get caught up in the fear of the challenges in your life, and you never get to experience a victory in your life. You never get to see God do the impossible. But here, I want to share with you the most amazing thing, really, I think about all this. It's not even Peter walking on the water. Not really. That's pretty amazing. But it's this. In verse 30, it says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. And then what happens? Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. There's a promise in that. Is that when you call out to the Lord, Lord, save me, that's a promise that he'll reach out and grab your hand. You could feel like you're down deep. And the challenge has consumed you. The problem has consumed you. And you feel like, I'm never going to make it out of this storm. I'm never going to make it out of the water. But let me just encourage you with this. Cry out to the living God and he'll reach his hand out and he'll save your life. Jesus is always willing to save those who call on him. Amen, church? Romans 10, 12 through 13 says, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a promise in your life why I'm saying this is because you're going to find yourself in the water. You're going to find yourself consumed. You're going to find yourself drowning. And you're going to be like, I don't know what to do. But remember these words. Call out to the living God and he'll save you. He'll pick you up. He'll put you on dry land. He'll put you on dry land. And I love this part is when they got back in the boat. What happened? Calm down. Calm down. And there is peace in the presence of God. When Jesus takes a step in that boat, there's no storm, there's no wind, there's no turmoil, there's no none of that. What is there? Peace. Peace. Well, how do they respond? They respond in the best way you can. They worship. Here's the thing, church. I think God's doing some amazing things in your life. I really do. Even if it's maybe you miss it. I think he's doing some amazing things, some impossible things in your life. But I'll ask you, is your response worship? Are you worshiping the Lord? When he gives you victory over whatever that may be, when he helped you when you didn't have enough, helped you get through the storms of your life, did you say, truly you are the Son of God? Truly you are the Savior of the world? Truly you are God? Amen, church? Is he not those things? He's all those things. And now I could stop there. And I could end the message and we could be done. We could go home. We could eat. But I'm not going to do that. Verse 34 says, when they crossed over the land of Gennesaret, and when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Now, why did I share that with you? For one, it's pretty amazing that they get to the other side, and all the people wanted to do, just let me just touch his cloak. Not even him, just let me touch his cloak, and I know I'll be healed if I just touch his cloak. That's amazing, but that's not actually why I want us to understand this part. Is that I want us to understand this for really one reason, is that everywhere Jesus went, people were broken. Everywhere he went, from one side to the other side. The reason why I read all these tonight is because this is all one cohesive thing. They fed the 5,000. They go on the water. They headed on the water. Storm that night to the next day. Now they're across the sea. What do they find across the sea? Crowds of brokenness. Crowds of brokenness. In church, that's no different today. That's no different. We've helped a lot of people to the ministries. A lot of people broken. A lot of people got their life back on track. And praise the Lord for that. But there's always somebody coming in. There's always somebody new at the meal ministry. Somebody new coming off the streets wanting to hear the word of God. Because they don't know anything about it. A lot of people. So I ask you that are believers tonight. Are you sharing with the broken world who the bread of life is? Are you sharing with the world where their salvation is? And are you sharing with the world where their healer is? Church, the ministry is plentiful, but the workers are few. Don't say, this person's going to do it. I got my own stuff. Somebody else can show compassion. I got my own stuff going on. Somebody else can go feed the hungry. Heal the sick. Somebody else can do that. I got my own stuff. You can do that if you want. But you won't please the Lord with it. See, there's a drowning world out there who needs to know who their salvation is. That's Jesus Christ. Amen, church? That's the Lord Almighty. Who has the power, listen to me, church, the power to feed those that are hungry. The power to save the drowning. And the power to heal the sick. How do I know that? How do I know that? Because I once was one of those people. I was once hungry. I was once drowning. And I was once sick. But the Lord reached out his hand and saved my life. And so many of you, that's your testimony. How can I know that the Lord will do that for others? Because I'm a living testimony, and so are you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you're going through challenges in your life, if you're going through hardships and pain, remember who the bread of life is. Remember who your salvation is. And remember who your healer is. Trust him who is able. Trust him who is able to do all those things. And trust him who makes a way. That is one thing I've seen throughout all these three things right here. Is when it was impossible for it to happen, Jesus made a way. If you're there tonight, let me just encourage you. Jesus can make a way. You think it's too big. It's too hard, too difficult. I'm going to be here forever. No, you're not. Not if you trust the Lord. Not if you trust the Lord. Are you really trusting him, church? Think about it. Are you really trusting the Lord with your problems? I know you have problems. And if you don't have problems today, you might find him tomorrow. Are you really trusting him? Because if you are, would you really still be where you are? What do I mean? Is if you keep dealing with the same thing over and over and over again, are you really trusting? You might not be. You might not be. So let's stand, church.